You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online all over the magnificent planet that we live in, Miss Ellen.
That's right. At 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button. And you'll be heard on any one of your streaming devices. You'll hear us on any one of your streaming devices, that is. And then, of course, if you'd like any of the archive shows, they're all MP3 downloads. You can get those from the date right there on that same website. Or you can get us on any one of our social media channels, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and Sita Media. And then, of course, on our website as well, SitaMediaInc.com, where we have, 14 years worth of great community radio all over that website, and you can search by name and by topic. And got another great episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here today.
Right, and you know, there are days when people who are just tuning into our radio show today, we're just going to tell them a little bit about a show. There are days when we want extra time and we don't have it. And today we had one of our segments was booked. The gentleman, for some reason, didn't confirm, Miss Ellen, and I think it's because he's got a sick relative, and so we're going to reschedule that. But it gives us a little bit of time this morning. And for our guests who are just tuning in, we sit here on Mondays and we talk to people right here in Brevard County, Florida, in the state of Florida, all over the United States and the world. And we recently did a show on clean water. We talk about the environment. We talk about financial stuff. We talk to people who are running for office, lots of authors. We really have a platform on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends where anyone who wants to talk about their book, their service, their product, anything they're doing in their purpose-driven life, we let them come here and chat. And today is no different. And I see our wonderful guest, Phoebe, is in the studio with us, Phoebe Walker, right?
Yes.
And she's going to be talking later about a soon-to-be-published book. She might touch a little bit on that. And how she handles sclerosis. I always want to say MS. Yes. And then there's the other one too, right?
Yes, there's muscular dystrophy.
Yeah,
multiple sclerosis.
Tie our tongues up. So thank you for being on our show today. You're going to be on the second segment.
Thank you for having me.
And Ellen, I'm going to let you talk about the guest who's calling in. I think you could say his name better than I can.
Michael Dracolich Jackson. So he is a Chicago Sun-Times reporter. Obviously has articles in the Chicago Sun-Times. And you were got in touch with him via Facebook, I guess, I would imagine, because that's how you find most of your fantastic folks that we get to air on the show. He works at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Worked.
Yeah, worked, he was. Correct.
He was a longtime award-winning journalist and film critic in Chicago. And he's now a freelance writer. And that's my bad. I didn't send you that information.
That's okay.
But that's why our show is fun and unscripted.
Exactly. I was looking at all of his pictures. I was going to start just describing him.
Yeah, we're going to try to go to all the pictures.
All the great pictures.
So, yeah. So, I was on the way here this morning. And I'm like, okay, if Mr. Thomas Wells does not call in, we're going to do a show today about friends. How many of us have someone in our life that we can say, this is my friend?
Well, I remember my mom. I think Nani Raj said it too for you, that when you get through life and you can actually count the number of friends that you have on one hand, you're a truly blessed person. And we are truly blessed with a lot of acquaintances and a lot of friends in our community Really because of the radio show is a lot of it, but also because of the networking and the things that we are able to go out and do. But friendship is so important. And for one of the five F's that we always talk
yes.
about, right?
And I
little
know,
finances.
And for our listeners who are tuning in, we were talking this morning of lately, we've had a lot of tragedy in the news. Of course, we're watching what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. We're watching what's going on with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And all of us pray for peace for all God's children. We do believe on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that all lives matter. No matter where you live, even if you live in Kashmir or Yemen or, gosh, our geographical world, we are learning all these countries. It's easy. So, Phoebe, you made a really good point because I was saying that everyone is upset. People feel like they lost a friend.
Yes.
When Matthew Perry passed away in his bathtub, he drowned.
Yes.
And before that, a lot of us were watching Britney Spears, and she had a meltdown dancing with the knives and everything. And I have to say, my children grew up with Britney Spears. My children grew up with Matt LeBlanc and Matthew Perry and Sarah Jessica Parker. My kids loved those. And you were saying something about Matthew Perry that resonated with Ellen and I. It hit you hard as well.
Yes, it did. It was funny. I was just walking. I do 10,000 steps a day, and I was walking, and my husband said, yes, he passed away. And I was like, wait, what? I actually shed some tears. It was kind of funny. I felt like I lost a friend. You watch them every day sometimes. And then with all the replays, you watch them again. And you're like, hey, that one was a really good episode. It reminded me of this. And it really helped me to relax with that or laugh about this. And he was my friend.
Right. You know? I mean, Ellen, we turn our television sets on, right, after work. Oh, some of us are streaming. And these are people that we allow into our home. And I think that's why people feel like the connection, like I want to unwind with them. I want to sit on the couch with them. I want to talk to them. And they took simple things and made it so much fun, right? Yeah. We resonated with it. And so that's why I invited one of my friends, Michael
Drakulich
Jackson.
Very good.
Who lives in Chicago. And I was looking for his name. And I guess Drakulich, I had him on the Mike Chicago. And so he's on the phone.
That's how my phone is, too. I've got Drywall Steve and Chicago Mike.
Yeah. So we've got the award-winning Chicago Sun-Times journalist, Michael Drakulich Jackson, on our show. And he's going to join in with us and talk about the importance and the significance of friends and why some of us feel like Matthew Perry was one of us. So thank you for taking the time to call in. Are you still in Chicago?
I am, and it is pretty frigid here for late October, about 35 degrees here, so it's probably much nicer out by you guys.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, we're not going to boast or anything, but we're just wearing sleeveless clothing.
It's 85
and sandals.
Oh, stop it now.
So,
and I'm in my hoodie here, freezing my tail off. Anyway, so friends, I mean that show made an impact on me in the 90s when it debuted. I come from a very sarcastic family, so whenever my family gets together for holidays and stuff like that, the jokes are flying, and it's all in good fun. There's nothing malevolent, meant by any of it. And I think what endeared me to Chandler Bing's character is he made that mainstream. He made that kind of sarcasm mainstream because, how many of us, in our everyday lives notice the absurdity of certain things and it just doesn't make any sense to us. And he would call out the absurdity of certain situations and make fun of it.
Yes.
Like it was no big deal. And,
right. And we understood. Yeah. We understood where he was coming from.
Exactly. Because we've all had that kind of friend in our lives, besides the television show. And that kind of comic relief in certain situations, is exactly what you need. And that's what really endeared me to his character. Certainly. And then I think later in life, I think what also made this particularly somber occasion is we knew the kinds of struggles that Matthew Perry went through later in life with his addiction. He was rather open about it. And I think you know, he made himself accessible and made himself very public regarding that, that those struggles he went through. And it got some people that were going through similar struggles through their own. I mean, they looked at him as, you know, a like-minded character, a like-minded person, I should say. And, you know, he, by Perry coming, you know, and being very public about it, he gave a lot of other people hope.
Right. Well, he broke that stigma, you know, because there's always a stigma in our country about certain mental illness or anxieties or addiction. Mm-hmm. And when a celebrity, someone that is endeared to so many people, comes out and say, hey, guys, I have this too, and I'm struggling, and I need help, then we all watched when he went into rehab, and people were actually praying for him to come out of this thing, you know, because they knew that he was a brilliant actor that had so much to give to us. And I think somewhere I read that he had said that there's light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that, and you it makes you get yourself into a situation where you're inside of his head and you're thinking, this guy who had everything and was so loved, he was in a dark place like so many people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's tough when, you know, when you're growing up and you idolize, you know, certain people who are involved in television and movies, and you think they've got their acts together, literally. I mean, they've got everything figured out. They know exactly what's coming. They know how to react. And, you know, when you start to mature, and then you start to see that, you know, maybe they don't, and they're human just like us. And I think that's, again, that's what made Matthew Perry an even more endearing figure, because he made it clear that he didn't have, you know, certain aspects of his life together. And, you know, he was working hard to do that. And, you know, maybe, you know, he provides, a little bit of inspiration to, you know, other people going through similar struggles.
Yeah.
So I always respected him for that. And I always liked his talent. And this is just... Yeah, it hurt. Yeah, it hurt my heart a little bit when I heard this news, and I'm so very sorry.
Yeah, and he had written that addiction is a big, terrible thing, and it's far too powerful for anyone to defeat it alone. I think what he was trying to say is, if you need assistance, reach out. Find that place where you can go, or that person to talk with. And again, the word friends, for me, it meant that it's somebody that you could talk to, right? And on that sitcom, they made it to where people can go home, sit down on their couch, come over, just knock on the door. There was no appointment necessary. Like nowadays, you have to make an appointment with people, right? But with friends, yeah, you felt like no appointment necessary. Just knock on the door, come in with a bottle of wine, bring a cheeseburger, whatever you have, some cookies, and let's just sit down and chat about what happened today.
Yeah, and they were able to make fun and make light of the most routine stuff in our lives. So, you know, most of the stuff that you wouldn't, you know, even give a second thought, like moving, you know, a sofa up and down the stairs, and you know, trying to get it around the, you know, the bends in the staircase and all that kind of other stuff. You know, just silly stuff like that, and you know, it was. Like I said, there was a certain joy in the absurdity of all that they had gone through, and it taught me to find, you know, the joy in the absurdity that I experience in my own life.
Right. So tell our listeners, Mr. Michael Dracolich Jackson, a little bit about yourself now, because you were an award-winning journalist. And now you're freelancing. So what are you doing in Chicago now? And how can someone find more information about what you're doing?
Oh, well, funny you should ask. I do have a film blog. You can find it at Michael Dracolich, and the last name is spelled D as in Daniel, Rakulich, at blogspot.com. And the title of my film blog is called Thinking Critically. It's an amalgam of new movies on there, movies that I consider great from the beginning of the 21st century. I'll revisit some of those and some of my year's best picks. It's got, I mean, if you're a cinephile of any sort, I think you'll enjoy this. And, you know, I certainly, you know, welcome, you know, any kind of feedback, you know, anybody who reads some of my reviews and wants to, you know, see certain things, you know, I'm open to suggestions there.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm a freelancer now and just trying to keep things busy and trying to keep myself going.
Well, Ellen has a question for you. She's signaling.
I don't know if it's a question as much as it is just as a statement. Like with the unprecedented pandemic and the things that we had going on, I think so many people went to electronic keeping in touch or electronic friendships. And I call it that because I have quite a few friends that I text quite a bit, but I hardly ever see. Like it's lucky if I get to see them in a year sometimes. So, you know, I want to reach out. I want to make sure that our listening audience pays attention to this friendship conversation that we're having and realize that we need to start figuring out how to meet people where they are, too. That not mm-hmm. everybody is making themselves as available to be out and socializing and so forth. And a lot of people got really comfortable hanging out in their own house and making their own food and pouring their own drinks. So make sure that you're reaching out in the way that people want to be reached out to and find new ways to connect with people that maybe are unprecedented for you or something totally different than what you've had before because, you know, we're all changing. And now, you know, I see everybody's stuff on TikTok. I see more video of people on TikTok and what they look like. And I get to say, wow, you look great. Or you changed your hair color. And it's like, that's a shame that I see it on TikTok first before I see them in real life.
Right, right.
You know, to actually say, wow, your hair looks great.
So I think the question is, did social media help or hurt, right? And I think social media itself, when you use it for the right purposes, it's perfect. I connect with my friends and I that's how I met Mr. Michael right here. But I think and I love it and I'm so grateful. I choose like the best friends for my Facebook and myself and I get the phone numbers of the ones I really like and I store them in my phone. But here's the thing. I think what's happening is people maybe at times need to enjoy our parks. You know, we witnessed a fight in the U.S. House of Representatives with people fighting, you know, who's going to be the speaker and this and that. But you know what? Most people want a politician or a human being to say, hey, we have more parks with benches. We have more places on the beach where families can go. We have places where people can go and meditate and do yoga. We have people who can fight for your health insurance. People just want to live out their lives and find their purpose and do what they can to make themselves, their families, their friends happy. So how do we do this, Michael? How do we do this and still enjoy politics, enjoy our country, but at the same time enjoy each other and start making eye contact with people again?
Well, I'm glad you asked me this because I remember when the pandemic first started, and you know we're talking you know March or April of 2020, and I really thought you know I'm comfortable in my own skin, and I didn't think that it was going to affect me the way it affected other people, and I couldn't have been more wrong because I learned a little bit about myself and that I do enjoy having that face-to-face contact with people. Even if it's just, you know, for a few seconds. And I made it a point that whenever I went out to the store to, you know, talk a little longer with the people who are working with the registers or, you know, the people who are stocking, you know, just try to get to know them a little bit better. And I always made it a point of whenever I left during the pandemic, I always told everybody to stay safe. You know, just a little bit goes a long way, you know, just a little bit of kindness. And I've gotten to know some of the people that I've said that to, you know, over the last 3 years, gotten to know them a little bit better. And my life is better for having known them. And I hope that, you know, I bring them, you know, when I get personal and tell them, you know, just stay safe as I'm leaving. You know, I hope they take that to heart and they don't think that it's, you know, just some throwaway line. You know, I genuinely mean it.
Yeah.
You know, because you have no idea what, you know, people are going through, as we touched upon earlier. I'd like to say that, you know, it costs practically nothing to be kind to someone. But it could mean practically everything to the person you're being kind to.
Right, because you don't know, like, there's a saying that says, I remember reading it once, that the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. So if you are kind to other people, if you respect other people, if you learn to say, hey, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings or something, the other person, you're changing not just their life, but you're changing your life too, because your thoughts are positive. But why do you think, like, right now in our nation, I mean, I know you and I think so much alike, and that's why I kept you on my Facebook for so many years. I just love our friendship. But it's like we're living in times where it's people will post things or say things that are hateful. Envy is a happiness killer. Jealousy can kill your happiness. Disrespect can kill your happiness. Being fearful can put a knife into your happiness factor, right? Mm-hmm. But why? It's so easy to be kind and just, if you are happy with people, why do you think we're at a time when we need like a spiritual awakening in the United States?
Well, I certainly think that, you know, it can be politically expedient for, you know, those people in power. I mean, because there's nothing that teaches us like fear and like the mistakes we've made. We learn far more from those two things than any of our successes, I'd like to think. You know, I can't, you know, whenever I go back on my life, I always point to the mistakes that I've made that have taught me the most, that I've learned from the most. And mistakes and fear, they can go a long way in manipulating people and getting people to act. So, you know, as long as, you know, certain people in power have, you know, that kind of fear at their disposal, they'll wield it. They will use it. Because, you know, come election time, then, you know, that's when people go to the ballot box, their fear is going to be guiding those votes. More often than not. And, you know, I don't ever want to be, there are certain things that we should be fearful of, certainly, but, you know, I would much rather concentrate on, you know, establishing camaraderie with my fellow human beings and making sure that they aren't fearful. And if there's anything that I can do to allay those fears in any way, I'll do it.
Right.
You know, because that's not a way to live. That is not a way to live.
Right. And these were topics.
I won't let it happen.
And these were topics that the sitcom Friends, that those five or six people, they pretty much talked about everything on that show, including voting, including, you know, being different, including immigrants' rights. I remember shows that they touched on pretty much everything, but they knew how to do it. They know how to say that they didn't tick off anybody. And I think that's what it takes nowadays, too, where all of us, we all know that friend that we call when we come home and say, hey, did you see what was going on the news? Now, if that friend add to something that's going on in the state of Florida with our governor or with something, then you'll find yourself in that negative place, too. But if they say, well, you know, well, for every action, there's a reaction, right? And then you say, well, you know what, this is what happened. And before you know it, that person is calling another friend. But how do we distinguish, like, who is your true friend and who is not? Because people say, well, trust and respect is so important in a friendship, right? But how do we get that trust and respect back that we could say that somebody's really got your back? Like Matthew Perry did have Matt LeBlanc's back, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, we all should have at least one of those kinds of friends that we can call at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning if something's wrong. And we know that they're going to be there. And we know that they're going to have, like you said, our back. I think we all do have at least, you know, one person that we can count on. But we can always use more. And, you know, it takes a while to build that kind of trust and that kind of friendship. But, you know, there's something about your instincts. Your instincts are going to let you know whether it's worth it to put in the effort to become a friend to one person or another. And, you know, if your instincts tell you no, then, you know, you move on to someone else. You know,
right. You
know, keep that person around, but, you know, maybe that's just not going to be one of your stronger friendships.
And we're living in times where we watch our elderly. We watch people who are going through a divorce. We watch people who are widowed. I just read an article where women who are divorced or widowed are facing such loneliness in America. And they live in beautiful homes, gated communities, but they've lost the friends that was part of the couple. you know, or an sure. older lady that's in a nursing facility. Her friends used to come by, they had a church group, but now they're lonely. It's almost like Matthew Perry passing away and perishing by drowning, what we're all watching. It's like people are beginning to actually emphasize the word friends. What does it actually mean? And how do you give back to a person who was there for you with time, effort, energy, and sometimes even money? And how do we do that and still say, hey, somebody's lonely, I'm going to reach out to this person?
Yeah, never take it for granted. Never take it for granted that people do have someone to turn to. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It doesn't hurt to just check in on someone every once in a while, if you haven't heard from them for a while, and just see how they're doing. You know, I make it a point of doing that all the time, you know, with people that I haven't heard from in a while. And more often than not, you know, it's just you catch up very briefly and everything's, you know, pretty okay. But, you know, you never know when you were going to reach out and you're going to connect with somebody who really needed it and they really needed you. And, you know, once that happens and you bring a little joy and you bring a little comfort to them, yeah, that's got to be tremendously satisfying. That's not the reason you do it. It's not the sole reason you do it. But, you know, that's kind of an added benefit if you can really make somebody smile and make somebody feel like they're seen, like they're a genuine person and they're not just being forgotten by, you know, other people around them.
Yeah, so, in the workplace, sometimes, you know, there's someone answering the phones for a company and they have to say good morning when somebody calls in. But that person sometimes is going through turmoil in their own life. And we don't know what other people are going through on a daily basis just to get the day through. And I think I would like to see that with the passing of Matthew Perry, and we also lost Robin Williams, not to forget. I mean, these were icons and that we grew up with. And everybody looked at that and they're like, oh my gosh, didn't they have any friends? Didn't they have any family to look out to? I mean, they had all the money. But you know what? Depression and anxiety and loneliness, it's real stuff. And I think I would implore that people reach out to their aunts and their cousins and their sisters and brothers and people that grew up with from high school and say, hey, how are you? And when you say how are you, actually mean it. So give the person a little chance to say how exactly they're doing, you know?
Exactly. I'm with you. I mean, go through your list. And, you know, make a list of the people that you haven't talked to in a while and make it a point of reaching out to them, you know, because like you said, you never know when it can make all the difference in the world, you know, just a simple phone call or a text or what have you, you know, whatever means necessary. So, don't wait. You know, I had a death in the family relatively recently and you have those regrets, you know, why didn't I reach out sooner and things like that? And I certainly go through that. So don't wait. Make sure that you reach out to those people and let them know exactly what they mean to you and exactly how you feel about them.
For our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Michael Drakulich Jackson. He is a friend of ours. He's a longtime friend of mine, I have to say. And he's also a longtime award-winning journalist and film critic in Chicago. Now he's a freelance writer, and we are so blessed to have such an accomplished friend of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
That's right. So one more
that I thought about him this morning. Can you believe it? Out of all my friends, I'm like, I'm going to talk to him and see if he could call in. So give us the website one more time and how people can read what you're freelancing and writing about. And we still want to know about some of the shows. I want to know what you thought about Barbie.
But I liked it.
Me too.
I really liked it. And you know, you won't have to really drag me to the theater to go see Ryan Gosling. I mean, because Ryan Gosling can almost do no wrong. I would challenge anyone to name a real stinker of a film that he's been in, and you'd be hard pressed to find that film. I really liked it. I'm taking some time to warm up to Margot Robbie as an actress, because there are some things that I think she's been good in and some not so good. But in this case, she hit it, she nailed it, and I really enjoyed the film. And, you know, it's making certain people's heads explode, and I liked it even more because of that.
Yeah. What about what did you think of the speech that America Ferrera made? I mean, I'm like, how did she learn that? And so it just flowed so fluent. I mean, that to me like was Oscar material. It's like she's gonna win, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's a favorite too, and I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I don't think she got a real chance to show off her talents in Ugly Betty. I think she's got a lot more to her than that, and I'm eager to see her in more highlighted roles because I think she's really talented. I think she's got a long way to go, and I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing her spread her wings a little bit more. I think she could be that good.
I can't let you go until I say I love Netflix. I love Amazon. I know people like Hulu. People like all the streaming. But Mike, how do we get more people back in our theaters? Our theaters are. I love it. I enjoy sitting there for a couple of hours and just shutting off my phone, not being able to get to the fridge and eat more stuff and gain more weight. I mean, how do we get more people back into the theaters? To just, it's an American thing. It's what we love.
It's tough. You know, I got comfortable sitting on the couch and putting on Netflix or Peacock or what have you too. I think it's important to, you know, really treat going to the theater as the event it is. I mean, make it into, and you know, it's not just going to the movie theater. Make it feel like you're going to, you know, the live theater. So, you know, you get a little dressed up. And you wear some real nice outfit and real nice shoes, and not just, you know, what you typically wear.
Or themed for the theater, right? Or themed for the show that you're going to see.
Yeah.
Like everybody who dressed up for Barbie, I thought that was the best part.
Why not?
Right?
Absolutely. And yeah, make it an event again. And I think that's one way I think we can get back into. I think you know, we'll get tired of, you know, sitting around the house and stuff like that. We'll get, you know, that itch to get outside and get out more often. So it might take a little while before that happens, but I think it'll come around again.
I think we just have to live each day as if it's our last day on the planet. And when you do that, then you know what, everything is, you do it. You'll dress up. You'll play the part, you know. You'll dress up like Barbie. Even me, I was an Indian Barbie.
You were,
and people were looking at me like I'm possessed. But I'm listening. I'm Indian, but I like the pink. But I read something this morning. One of my friends who is actively dying of cancer wrote this. She said, realizing that we are not guaranteed tomorrow makes today a prized possession. And how true that is, right?
Mm-hmm. As a cancer survivor myself, yeah, I abide by that as much as I possibly can, yeah.
I didn't know you were. Well, see, we're going to have to call you back indeed. For another show when we do. And well, listen, it's so wonderful to have a friend like you that can be a friend of our show, and Ellen will take it away from here.
And thank you very much, Sita, for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, we are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. We'll make sure that all of this great information we shared here on Community Radio Viewpoint with Sita and Friends will be on our website page as well as all of our social media. We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, our archive shows are housed there as well under Sita Media Inc. And then we also have it on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, all of our social media channels, everything. We share it on all of it. So we will share all of our guest information so easily looked up and easily referred to. And there's also an MP3 download that people can share.
Yeah, and I was feeling a little down.
Wait a sec, before we go on. You know, I haven't told you lately. Our statistics lately have been 22,000 downloads a month on our show.
Crazy.
So There are people that are out there that are listening intently, hopefully getting great information. It's not always just about Brevard County. It's about national things that are going on and national people that you can get a hold of and have resources that you might not have had before. So kudos to you, Sita.
Well, thanks
to you.
Kudos
to my friend.
Thank you, my friend with the capital F, Miss Ellen O'Neill, my right hand with the show. And for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time, Ellen O'Neill has been the right hand of this show, like my right hand from the day he was born.
Well, just about.
Oh my God! Like 14 years ago.
Folks in there in the beginning, but
yeah.
I mean, all great people that contributed and gave you so much boost in the beginning, and then when we got together, it just sort of took off.
Lifted off my self-esteem.
It really did.
It sure did. Give me that self-confidence. I'll never forget. One day, I said to Ellen, you know, we have to get people to help sponsor our shows, so we could pay Danny here for the airtime, because it is three FMs, one AM and online. And I said, I don't know if I should quit my job in the nursing home as a nurse. And she said, no, keep your steady stream of income. And that is in my head forever. But anyways, our second
every
segment.
Every day I get an extra Christmas card from Ahmed. I'm kidding.
So our second segment is with Phoebe Walker. And Phoebe, I love what your Facebook says. She's pretty much what Michael Drakulich was just saying, and Ellen and I, that we all deserve to live our best life.
Yes.
And we do. And you've been living with MS for 20 plus years, and you are the president and founder of DAMMS 411. It's a dance a mile in my shoes. And I love
like
the way
mile in sheath.
So let's chat. Now you're writing a book, you're still dancing, and you're doing all of this in addition to living with MS, with the flare-ups, all the nerve trouble you're having, but you're giving back to Brevard, and you want people to live their best life, even though they're diagnosed with something, right?
Yes.
So talk to us. Bring us up to speed since you were on the show last time.
Okay, so what I'm doing now that I'm going to say the word is DAMS. She spelled it out. DAMS, D-A-M-M-S, 411. 411 stands for information. And DAMS stands for Dance a Myelin, like the myelin sheath, my shoes. And I brought that together because with multiple sclerosis, what is chewed apart with the white blood cells is the myelin sheath that protects your nerve. And that's what causes all of our messages to not get from the brain to the part of the body that you want it to get to. And so I created that simply because I have been dealing with MS for so long. And over the years, it's like I take a concept and I throw it at the wall. Is this going to help me feel better? Is this going to help me move forward? Is this going to help me get out? My biggest goal in life is to go out and reach as many people as possible to bring joy and hope and peace in whatever it is that they're going through. And MS has not been an easy walk all the way through, for certain. In 2006, I was blind in both of my eyes. It was absolute absence of sight. I was a complete invalid. My husband was deployed with the Navy, and I was there by myself. And I didn't have friends. We were new to a neighborhood. So we're bringing up the friend stuff. I was new to a neighborhood, and actually a church got wind of what happened. I don't know how, but they got wind, and we had people that came and brought us food 4 nights a week, my kids and I, for several months. It wasn't just like a couple week thing. And I remember that. And when things started getting better for me, I wanted to go back out and be that for other people. And so in addition to keeping myself going well, I've always wanted to do this for other people and go back out into my community and reach out to whomever I could. And as this has grown, I created DAMS. I started last year a little bit. And in the process of doing it, I started contacting dance studios because dance is one of those things that I had learned helped me a whole lot with physical, emotional, every aspect of your body. Then I started doing research, and it's really specific peer-reviewed research. That's the most important because it means that the research done has been tested and it's bashed back and forth with people who know. And so I trust my peer-reviewed research, and there is so much research out there on the benefits of ballroom dance, specifically for people with MS, but for everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter what your age and just the number of benefits that comes from it. And since I started ballroom dancing in 2016, it was exactly 10 years after losing my eyesight and physical abilities, and I got most of it back, and now 10 years later, I started dancing. I realized that that really was helping. It helped with incontinence. It helped with emotional state. It helped. I can't even rattle off the list. We don't have enough time.
Yeah.
But so I started creating DAMS, and in the process of doing that, I contacted the dance studios to let them know about people with MS. Could your instructors teach somebody with MS? And then I went to the Multiple Sclerosis Society and started talking to them about it. And they asked me if I would lead up a national virtual multiple sclerosis group, which I do once a month now. And it is an online thing. And so the fourth Sunday of every month at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do that.
And so it actually helped with incontinence as well. And yeah. Did it help with pain?
For me, mm-hmm. Yes. It really helps with a lot of stuff. I mean, I still have pain.
Right.
But I could have all kinds of pain before I go to the dance studio. And I go. And it's a rough start.
Yes.
But by the time I'm done dancing, my heart is lifted. My spirit is calmed. I have peace. I may still have a little bit of pain, but it's palatable.
Yes.
And that's really what living with MS is. It's, as I call it, a symbiotic relationship. And it's something that's really helped me. What I do controls how the MS responds in my body. For instance, if I go out in the hot sun for too long, then I overheat. If I don't get enough sleep.
So you listen to your body. So during COVID, you also had a group called RAMMS.
Yes.
What was that one about?
That one is run a mile in my steps. Run a mile in my shoes. And it's basically the same thing, the myelin. And she's the one who helped me to come up with the name for dance. She's like, you do dance. I joined this runner's group, and they do a lot of running. These ones do marathons. For me with MS, when I do the repetitive steps forward, I struggle. So I needed to find something else to keep me active. So I can walk slower paces than a run and my muscles don't get upset. Then I learned with dance, I shift the direction. So I use different muscles with dance than with running, and I can manage that way. So some people with MS may not be able to dance, but they may be able to run.
Yeah, so you're amazing because, you know, there's so many people once they're diagnosed with something, and rightfully so, people become depressed, anxious. Some become very lonely. And, you know, one of the things about being diagnosed with something, and especially like MS, is you have to talk to people who understand,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of people don't have that. But to get back to when people are diagnosed, how did you face the diagnosis and say, I've got this, it's moved into my body rent-free, and I'm going to deal with it? How did you do that? Because that's basically what happened.
I kind of laugh a little bit because I didn't really deal with it. Well, emotional diarrhea was what I had at first. I was really upset. For 3 years, I fought it. I was like, no, I don't have this. I don't have this. The medicine was horrible. I took it for 6 weeks every day. I was taking Copaxone, which was a daily injection, and I had horrible reactions. And I finally said, okay, I'm dying on this medicine. And my family practice doctor says, we're here to help you to live a better life, not to make you suffer. And so I said, okay, obviously I don't have MS, because if I did, my body would use the medicine. It was probably about 2 years later. I did stop taking the medicine, by the way. About 2 years later, then I started having more symptoms. They found new lesions, and it was time for me to go see another doctor again. I got put on medication again at that point. Again, I also stopped taking that medicine because it was too much for me. But I did sort of accept my diagnosis at that point. That's when I started changing my diet, my sleep patterns, and my mindset. I put faith above everything. I do as best I can to stay as positive as possible. And then everything else falls in line under that. How you process things in life, what comes at you, are you going to let it get you down? If you let it get you down, that's going to be a stress that's going to take you.
Right, and there are medical professionals available if people will just reach out and find one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you did. You found a team of medical professionals to coordinate your care.
Yes.
But you also took charge of it because you're like, well, this medication is causing too many side effects. So
yes.
I'm going to tell them I'm going to try something else, which like ballroom dancing
yes.
and walk exercise.
So I liked to find, I am an advocate, by the way, for medicine. While I have tried 6 different medications and I cannot take any of them anymore because of the side effects, I do what I can to do a lot of holistic approaches. Yoga, meditation, chiropractic, massage, but really still above all else is faith and mindset, and everything else trickles down from there. And then now, of course, ballroom dance is really kind of way up there at the top for me too, because I have found a new life on the dance floor. I have found joy.
And you got some
floor.
Awards too.
I have.
In 2023, you won 2 awards.
This year, I got a brand new instructor in January of this year, and for the first time, I went to ballroom dance competition in April, and I won 2 awards there, a scholarship, which I put the money into DAMS. DAMS is a not-for-profit. It's raising money. I'll explain more about that here in a minute, but I put the money that I won into that, and then I also won a medal for 3rd place for both of them, and then I went back to another competition in September of this year, and I earned a finalist position. This was a big one because it was one of the largest national events for ballroom dance, and I didn't even realize I was that good of a dancer.
Yeah. Give yourself a pat on the back. Yeah.
And so just the fact that it brings me joy, and it's a good thing. I just want to share this, you know.
Yeah, so for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning, we're speaking with Phoebe Walker, and she's been living with MS for over 20 years. And I don't know if people understand this, but MS affects your vision. It affects incontinence. It affects your thinking. And I know some of the problems that people have with MS, they cannot think straight. They cannot concentrate. They cannot remember. A lot of people just can't learn new things. And planning and organizing is distorted and disjointed. Now, ballroom dancing takes a lot to learn the steps, to organize. How do you do it? Because I'm sure you have flare-ups when you're like, oh, my God, I can't do this.
Okay. First of all, I want to back up for a second and say that ballroom dance actually helps with the memory thing.
Good.
I got to where I couldn't even add simple numbers, and now I without using fingers, and now I can actually thought process it out a very long
Well, you need route. To make a banner and put that, like, on the O'Galley Bridge or some
five. It really helps with memory.
Ballroom dancing helps memory MS.
Retention.
Actually, might yeah. have just helped regular people with their memory, too.
Oh, well, yeah, technically, absolutely. They say that dancing and music are a different part of the brain.
Yes.
For folks that have MS and for folks that are artistic and have brain injuries, that music and the dance part of it is actually the best therapy.
I explain that to people. I'm like, okay, so for the people who stutter and they go and they sing, you can't hear their stutter. And I said, this is what dance does for me. Right. When I can't put one foot in front of the other without wobbling around, then somehow I get out on the dance floor and I'm making steps. And I'm like, wait a minute, I walked in here with my cane. How am I dancing like this? Right. And it's because I have a good partner. And it takes that. But it really did help a whole lot. So I dance, I cannot say enough about it. And so that's why I created DAMS, is that dance can be expensive.
I know, Ellen is right, because when you're singing, you turn into something else.
Oh, yeah.
You're a diva, girl. Mm-hmm. Like, I see it. It, like, the memory, your memory just kicks right in, too. With it, your singing and your dancing, the little bit you do on the stage, it helps you tremendously as well.
Well, and the fact of singing and playing at the same time, which I only got my first guitar, I only bought, well, now it's been 6 years since I've had my guitar. And I wouldn't say that I'm a great guitar player, but just the ability to be able to sing and play at the same time is
coordination.
Work. And it's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach kind of thing.
Right.
But once again, it's a different part of the brain. So when folks are affected by brain injury or medical, something like MS, where they still haven't really found out where it comes from or how it happens or any of those things, the same thing with autism, you know, so when you find those things that change your life for the better. And also, yes. By the way, you're not just doing this for you, but all of the people that watch you and all the people that get inspired by you and all the lives that you change just because you're out there doing something that they wish that they could do or wish that they thought that they could do, their chance is just a yes away.
Yeah, she's motivating them. She's motivating them.
Exactly.
Well, you know, there are so many people that have other diseases, autoimmune diseases like fibromyalgia and other diseases that are
debilitating.
Debilitating, yes.
That's it.
I
don't know why I wanted to say something else and I shouldn't. but people have diseases that really and truly, they're like, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And your website not only deals with musculosclerosis, but you have other diseases that people ask you about.
Yes.
Debilitating diseases.
Yes. I actually have a private Facebook group now, and I have so many different types of autoimmune and debilitating diseases on there, and I don't like to call them debilitating. They're conditions,
right?
Because it's debilitating is such a negative word, but we have conditions that cause limitations, and I just am so happy. It started out as for multiple sclerosis, but now my group has grown so much to so many different people, and I love being able to share it, and I can't wait to make
and
it
you're
more
so
accessible.
Positive because you know like. With MS, I've seen people have blurry vision, dizziness, balance issues.
Oh, yeah.
People have balance issues, pain, blurred vision. Some people, their muscles become very weak. I've seen it all. Incontinence, their intestines are not working. But you have learned how to manage this disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want you to share with our listeners. If you met somebody, a young person that says, hey, I was just diagnosed with an autoimmune system disease, and I need to know what your secret is. How are you so bright and shiny, even though you have this? Teach me so that I can cope. What would you tell them?
I'm going to go back to my first steps is faith and mindset. Core. My second thing I'm going to say is journal. Journal everything. I spent the first 5 years after I decided that I was going to accept the diagnosis, And I journaled everything and learned about my body. You need to learn. I do ballroom dance competitions. When I go to the ballroom dance competitions, I know that when nerves happen, I have certain symptoms that will kick in. And I prepare myself for that. I don't leave my house without a backpack filled with ice because I live in Florida and I overheat. And if I get in a car, which I have been before, and the engine dies and I'm stuck in the heat, I could end up in the hospital for overheating. So I use ice. So take what you need to take. Learn your body. Learn your systems. You know, if I go to a ballroom dance competition, I'm having incontinence. Don't think I'm not going to wear some kind of protection to keep me from peeing all over the dance floor.
So you know when you're going to have a flare-up. You know when your leg is going to get restless. You know when something is going to happen.
You can feel it coming, or you can at least say, usually under these circumstances, these things will happen. And you just prepare yourself for if it does. And then just thank God if it's not.
You're very cautious.
Yes.
And that's the way it should be, right? I think... So what I like about you, Phoebe, is that you share with our listeners here in Viewpoint with Sita and Friends how you're coping with MS. But you have no idea how many people out there have something as well. And by you sharing your story, they're motivated to say, hey, let me go look up the signs and symptoms of what's happening with me, and maybe I could become like her. Mm-hmm. So give us your website for DAMS and the other one as well, the walking one.
Okay. The DAMS for my business is D-A, M as in mama, M as in mama, S, and then the numbers, and that's S as in Sam, 411.org. It is a not-for-profit organization. And I don't have the one for the Rams.
Yeah, but you will, because you're writing a book too, and in it.
But if you go to that website, you'll be able to find there the link for my private Facebook group for people. And that group is growing, and it's the one that has people with all different sorts of conditions.
And you're saying they should start a journal. It doesn't matter what kind of notebook they have. Mm-mm. Start writing it down.
Just start write everything. And I mean everything. There are people with MS who, there's a topic that a lot of them don't talk about, and that's sex. And that's one that I recently joined an MS group, and that was a topic that came up. These are the problems that happens with it. This is how we cover it. So,
my God, yeah. A lot of information will be on that website for people.
Yes, absolutely. And congratulations. And when are the books coming out?
The one book is done already, and I'm hoping to have it in print before next year.
Okay.
Hoping. And then I am working on another one that hopefully will come out next year. And that one is about my symbiotic relationship with MS and how I'm.
Fantastic. So we'll be able to probably find those on Amazon. Phoebe will actually share it with us as well. We'll make sure we have it on all of our websites. What a fantastic show today, Sita.
Yeah, I feel so relieved.
Right? To friends of friends. Exactly. To talk to friends, to get inspiration, and certainly to connect with people. Don't forget about connecting on Facebook and connecting in real life. It means so much. Stay tuned next week for another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on 1510wwbc.com. See you next week. Hey.